Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 10, beginning with the 38th verse. This is our Gospel for today, this ninth Sunday after Pentecost. Dear friends in Christ, this week, the Bible reading plan that I used for part of my morning devotions called for me to read through Solomon's book of Ecclesiastes. One of the most well-known verses is found in chapter 1, verse 10. There Solomon writes, "There is nothing new under the sun." Once again today, I'm reminded about just how true that verse really is. This world, despite all advancements in technology and every other change that makes this world completely different than the world Jesus lived in 2,000 years ago, there remain many constants. Today, we see the one main constant. The one thing needed from the beginning of the world to the end of the world remains the same: God's Word. And because of that, there's temptations to put God's Word down our priority list. Jesus was 2 miles away from Jerusalem when he entered into a small village called Bethany. There, a woman lived named Martha with her sister Mary. And they invited Jesus into their home. This wouldn't be the last time Jesus met Mary and Martha. Later, he would raise their brother Lazarus from the dead. No doubt other people were in the house with Mary, Martha, and Jesus. And Jesus began to teach and to preach God's word. And there Mary sat at Jesus' feet, listening to every word that he said. But there are things to be done. Martha had Jesus, the Lord, as her guest. She had to prepare her house and to make a meal for Jesus. She was running around frantically like a chicken with her head cut off, trying to get things done, serving this meal to Jesus. And she began to be upset. She was distracted by so many things. She had so many things to do, and Mary just sat there doing nothing, not even helping her. So she complained to Jesus, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." But Jesus didn't give Martha the answer she was expecting or hoping for. "Martha, Martha," Jesus said, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better." Now Martha, she was doing a great and noble thing, wasn't she? Preparing a meal for Jesus, serving the Lord. But what she was doing wasn't nearly as important as what Mary was doing. Mary was simply sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to his word. That, Jesus said, is the one thing needed. That is what is truly important. As great as a deed that Martha was doing, serving the Lord, it wasn't nearly as important as listening to the word, as Mary was doing. So if Martha was serving the Lord, and it's not as important as listening to the word, what does that tell us about everything else in our lives as what is truly important? There's nothing that you can come up with, nothing that you can think of in this entire world that's as important as listening to God's word. And if that's the case, what do you think the devil tries to do with the word? Whatever it is that's your favorite thing to do, the devil is going to try to use that to keep you away from the word. He's going to try to convince you that the word really isn't needed, or it really isn't needed all that much, or the word is needed every once in a while. He uses various means, especially your favorite thing, to distract you from God's word, trying to trick you into thinking that other things are more important, to move God's word down your priority list. We hear it all the time today, just as Jesus did with Martha 2,000 years ago. People become convinced that other things are more important. They have other needs and other wants other than to simply listen to God's word, and they started making excuses. They have the needs as we hear them. I need to work. And how does Jesus respond to all these needs? No, you don't. I need to take my kids to this game or to this event. No, you don't. Well, I need to hang out with my friends and have a good time Saturday night. And I'm just can't make it to church on Sunday. No, you don't. Well, I need to sleep in after a hard week's of work. No, you don't. We can go on and on. I need to go fishing with my buddies. I need to go shopping with my friends. I just need to relax and not go anywhere for the day. No, you don't. Listening to the word is the one thing needed, but the devil has so clouded our thinking and changed our priorities that we think we need something other than the one thing truly needed. Of course, you're thinking to yourself, Pastor, we know this. We talk about it all the time. It's basic Christianity. The one thing needed is listening to God's word. That's why we're here today, to listen to God's word, because it truly is the one thing needed. And I say, good. I'm glad you're here at worship today. But worship is only the beginning of listening to God's word. 1 hour a week. That equals about 0.6% of your week spent listening to God's word. Listening to God's word isn't just at worship. No, don't get me wrong. Worship is very important, and it is part of listening to God's word, but it's only one small part. Notice where Mary was. She wasn't in the synagogue. She wasn't in the temple in Jerusalem. She wasn't at worship. She was at home listening to God. It's the equivalent of reading God's word at home or attending a Bible class. Worship is only one small part. Even this hour that we spend in worship, even the 0.6% of your week, half of that isn't listening to God or learning His word. The other half is praising Him. So it's not the sole focus. That's why it's so important to be reading your Bible at home. That's why it's so important to be attending Bible classes so we can listen and learn God's word on a regular basis. But then again, our priorities get out of whack, don't they? The devil tempts us and he convinces us that we need to do other things rather than listen or read God's word. I need to work out. Again, he says, no, you don't. Oh, I just don't have time because I need to watch that TV show. No, you don't. Oh, I need to get some shopping done on Sunday. No, you don't. Well, I need to go out to eat with some friends or family instead of 10 Bible classes. No, you don't. Again, you get the picture. We have all these needs, we have all these wants to avoid doing the one thing needed, and again, Jesus says, no, you don't. There's only one thing that's needed. God's word. Now, of course, there's other things that we need to live. We need to breathe. We need to drink. We need to eat, sleep. few other things. No one has to try to convince you to breathe, or to eat, or to sleep, or to drink. We do these things because if we don't, we'll die. But only physically. If you fail to do the one thing needed, you're not going to die physically. But you will die eternally. So in this respect, as far as our spiritual lives are concerned, which are far more important than our physical lives are concerned, listening to God's word truly is the one thing needed. And that's all the motivation we need. Our spiritual well-being, our spiritual lives depend on it. The one thing needed, God's word. Mary sat at Jesus' feet listening to his word, and we have Jesus' words written down for us in his holy Bible. This is not the thoughts and ideas of sinful man. The thoughts, the ideas of God. Written by man, inspired by the Holy Spirit, as Paul told Timothy, all Scripture is God-breathed. And since all of the Bible is God's Word, we can trust everything it said. Not simple human beings' ideas and thoughts, but the inerrant Word of the inerrant God without error, without lies, without deception, without falsehood. Everything found in his Word is truth. As Jesus once prayed in John 17, sanctify them by truth. Your word is true. And because the words found in this book aren't man's words, but God's words, they are powerful, they are effective, they are living, they are active. Powerful and effective to bring us to faith and to keep us in the one true faith. As a writer to the Hebrews wrote, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. The thoughts closely follow our verse from the day from Isaiah 55. My word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish the desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent. And what's the purpose? Bring us to faith. John wrote, these words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing we may have salvation in his name. The purpose of the word is to save. Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of salvation of everyone who believes. The gospel is what the Holy Spirit uses to bring us to faith. The Holy Spirit uses to keep us in the one true faith. It is the gospel that brings salvation. Peter says the same thing. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring Word of God. How can the gospel save? How can the word save? Because the word, God's word, is the primary source where we find our only doctrine. All our doctrine based on God's word, because it is the word alone that tells us about God and his love, about his mercy and his grace that he freely and truly gives to us. We hear in his word, of course, about Jesus. About how God so loved sinners that he sent his son into the world. That son took our sins upon himself. How he became guilty of everything we have done wrong and suffered the eternal punishment that we deserved. It is in his word that we see the Lord does not count our sins against us, that he does not treat us as our sins deserve, but he freely and completely removes the guilt of all our sins. that he looks at us and no longer sees sinners, but sees his Son. And on account of that Son, he declares us not guilty. That his Son, 3 days after his death, rose from the dead and promises that all who believe in him will not perish but have eternal life, that even though we die, we will live. That message of salvation, that message of forgiveness of sins, which is received through faith in him, apart from anything we have done or can ever do, that message is foolishness. Complete and utter foolishness to sinful human beings. It cannot and was not made up as a fable, but as God's will, written down for us in his holy word. The same word the Holy Spirit uses to create and strengthen faith. Again, so God's word is necessary and the one thing needed because it is the only thing we need to be saved. Without the word, no one can be saved. For it is the sword that keeps the devil from attacking us. Paul writes in Romans 10, how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. If that isn't enough motivation for doing the one thing needed on a regular basis, then nothing is. And yet there are so many more blessings that God gives us through his word. It comforts us in difficult times. When troubles or difficulties appear, whether they're health-related or financial problems or issues with family members or problems at work or so on and so forth, we can go to God for encouragement. There we find our good shepherd, who watches over us and protects us, who promises that all things, even the bad things, will work out for our eternal well-being, who guards us, keeps us from all temptation, defends us against all our enemies, who knows all our wants and our desires, and even the number of hairs on our head. Who cares for us and provides for all that we need. His word also encourages us. In times of sickness and disease, when we face our own death or the death of loved ones, he comforts us with a sure hope of eternal life by his resurrection from the dead and the forgiveness of sins by his death on the cross. Encourages us that our sins will not come back to us to condemn us, but that we will live with him in heaven forever. His word is life-giving water, quenching our thirsty souls and satisfying the need for pure spiritual truth. His word is the bread of life, feeding and nourishing our soul to eternal life. His word is a light, shining light on our sin-darkened paths to show us the way to eternal life, Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Martha, in her life, was distracted by so many things, and she began to get worried, or as the Greek says, anxious. She was upset or troubled, as the Greek says. We get that way too, don't we? We have so many things that worry us, so many things that make us anxious, in this earthly life. So many things that keep us up at night. So many things that cause us to become upset and angry and cause us to lose our temper. But through the Word, we see that only the Word is truly important, because only the Word is the one thing needed. And as we place the Word as our number one priority, are those other things, what we thought were priorities, are no longer as important. We have all those things that cause us to worry or become upset, and we look back later and we think to ourselves, why did I even care? Or why was I so worried about that? How foolish I was. When we place God and His Word as our number one priority, the earthly, the physical things that we were so worried about, aren't that important. We don't worry about them as much. The things that make us so upset and angry, we realize don't really matter in the long run. Because they're not really needed. We don't care about them as much. God's Word is the one thing needed. There is still nothing new under the sun. Nothing really has changed. God's Word has been and will always be the one thing needed for eternal life. And the devil has always tried to convince us otherwise. Let us follow Mary's example. Let us choose what is good. Let us choose to listen to God's Word regularly and often, weekly, even daily. For it is the Word that the Lord uses to bring us to faith, to strengthen faith, that we may receive the blessings of salvation. So it is the Word that saves, that forgives, that gives that gift of eternal life. It is the Word that encourages and comforts. It removes anxiety and calms our anger. It is the Word that feeds, that waters, that lights the path to eternity. We eat and we drink throughout the day because we need to survive. We sleep 6, 7, 8 hours a night because we need it. But in the grand scheme of things, only one thing is needed for eternity. God's Word. It will not be taken away from us. It has been given to us in many forms, available in many different ways. Let us choose what is good and make use of this great and gracious gift the Lord has given us in His holy Word. And when you do, the Lord will certainly bless that, for His Word does not return to Him empty. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.